Hello and welcome to episode 73 of Muse on Minis.
Musing and amusing.
Sweet. This is Fat Asian and I play Convergence of Cirrus, Minions, and Protector to Menoth.
Keith, Crix, Signar, Circle Ouroboros.
Crump, Rhett, Circle, Mercs.
Retro Broken, am I right?
That's no. That's the thing. Just like how there was Cadorable, and I finally figured it out for Rhett. Retro Broken.
Chad, Trolls.
This is Brian. I play Cador and Crix.
Brian, welcome back. It's been a while since you've been on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks. It's been a while.
A while.
Let's jump right in. Today we have the... We have an announcement. We have an announcement to make before that. Brian, go. You have a tournament.
August 3rd in Des Moines at the Mayhem store. We're going to run a 35-point Highlander. It's going to be a $10 entry fee. Got a fun first prize... first place prize, and hope to see you guys there.
I will point out that is the same weekend as Mayhem Cup at Space City Con in Texas. I will be at a wedding.
Texas. I will be here playing Highlander, probably.
What?
I will be the lone man in Texas.
You should go. Go win the cup.
Alone.
Okay. All right. This was not planned, but I'm just going to say as an aside, the next cup tournament, if they run it, not on when my brother is getting married, and since I only have one, and presumably he won't be divorced and getting married again by then. I'm going 100%.
All right. So,
wait. Another announcement. Yes, this will be in time. On the 27th of July in Iowa City, there is a tournament at Critical Hit Games. Go look for it on the Privateer Press boards as well as the MOM boards. It shouldn't be too hard to find.
You need to sign up ahead of time. Space is limited.
Yes.
All right. Today's main event, the lightning round. I am disappointed in all of you because there are fewer than 100 questions this week.
I will say we gave them less time. Normally we've been recording on Wednesday or Thursdays. We are recording on Tuesday tonight, so it's maybe not their fault.
No, I expected better. So... jumping right in. Stephen Groom, how recently were you to not... How relieved were you to not have to face me in the tournament last Saturday?
I was really relieved. I hate beating up on special ed kids.
I was relieved to face him because he was playing Rhett, which is a terrible faction.
Wow, you answered it perfectly, John.
You guys are jerks.
Well, he kind of asked for it. I love Steve. I actually love Steve.
He is the man who's running that the tournament on the 27th, so
he's come. He's a fantastic guy, great press ganger.
He's great.
Benjamin Glover writes, which Warnound would be the most improved with +1 focus or fury? I say maybe Ashlyn, 14-inch control, would cover 99% of the enemy's shooting with her feet, better chance to land distraction, etc. No,
false.
The answer is 100% Gordon. Yeah. God dang it, I couldn't get it out.
That was the best discussion I had with you, Chad, was Gordon. That someone complaining about Epic Ears being like, if he had like 5 more focus, he'd be the most broken caster in the game. I'm like, if Gordon had 5 more focus, he'd be the most broken caster in the game.
Brian, put our Facebook on your phone and you can see the list of questions.
Harry Cullen, I'm sorry, asks, why is Crump so bad at telling stories, Crump?
I was a chemistry major, not an English major. Sorry.
Interesting.
My answer is he sucks.
You suck, Chad.
You suck.
Your stories aren't any better.
No, they actually are.
Next.
James Stover. Which casters, when coupled, would make the cutest babies? Morten Ebra and...
No.
Oh.
No, they say...
Damn legs.
I know this is actually a lie. It's something that ugly people say all the time, but the ugliest people have the cutest kids. Therefore, it would be Terminus and...
The Old Witch.
The Old Morning. Witch.
Wait, yes. Wait. Well. We have to rule out all liches, right? Because they can't sexually reproduce anymore.
How do you know?
I'm just going to assume since they're a skeleton.
No lead in the pencil?
Yeah.
All right.
Zach House is wondering, what do you expect Striker 3 to bring to Signar? I bet he brings a little bit of lightning.
Disappointment.
Disappointment.
I got it. Vendetta Menoth.
Another horse.
Ooh.
Chris Hodge. Should the fluff for the future Eborka include an assault on Signar in an attempt to drink white lightning?
Wait, did you just skip?
Possibly conflicting with Kaya and Laris defending the moonshine. No, you did. So I'm coming back to the one that you said.
Yeah, I was going to do it too.
Sure. I think it should. I'm in.
Yes.
Yeah. Agreed.
Perfect.
Sure. Matthew Lust writes, is Denial Jam too strong in 2013? Before this weekend, this past weekend, I would have said no. After this past weekend, I would say yes.
Very good.
I always said that.
Well,
I mean, since you can score on your own side on a lot of them, it's extremely powerful.
Agreed.
Seems fine. Seems fine.
Colin Hubert writes, in scoring what is not seen / feared and should be.
Venator Reavers.
They're really strong. I don't know about fearing them.
Seen.
Void spirits.
That's
because
one.
Because they also do quite a bit of damage. And, ironically, abominations. Should be feared.
Yeah.
Should be feared.
Yeah. Should be.
Should be. What about the Ferox or the little Bloodrunner guys? I think in the right situations, they're both pretty dangerous. Maybe not the Bloodrunners, but the Ferox definitely.
Hmm. We probably didn't get as many questions this week because you told people that they couldn't ask like five.
You got the next one?
No, I don't.
Harry Cullen.
Harry Cullen asks, can you pick two bad casters or warlocks and swap their feats to make them good?
I actually think I can.
Yes, P. Magnus and Gunbjorn?
P. Magnus? No, it's actually P. Magnus, I think, and Epic Morgul. If Epic Morgul had a feat that allowed his entire battle group to run away.
Oh, my God.
That'd be really good. Picking two and bad casters.
Two bad casters swapping their feats and resulting them both being good. And Magnus having a bunch of defensive boost for his entire army would also be pretty good. So that's what I'm going to go with.
Well, I can't top that. I'm out.
Yeah, definitely not going to switch Gunbjorn's feet. That's not good.
Nobody wants his feet. David Ziegert writes, why does the music play for so long at the end of each episode?
Because it's amazing. Because
it's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. It's the entire song. Why would you play less than the entire song?
Why do you choose to listen? Better question, why do you choose to listen to all of it at the end of the podcast?
Lance occasionally puts Easter eggs at the end. So
that's very self-serving by Lance, by the way.
Song.
He puts Easter eggs just to make you listen to his song,
which
I love.
Should.
Yeah,
Ben Neitzel? Biggest disappointment from a Warnown in their transition from Prime to Epic version.
It's definitely P. Denny to Epic Denny. Don't play her.
Wait, no, it's definitely P. Morgul to Epic Morgul.
You read that question terrible. Biggest what? Disappointment.
No, you mean disappointment.
Yes, there you go.
Biggest disappointment. I think the answer is Epic Lich to 3 Lich losing Teleport.
Hmm.
That is the greatest.
You really don't think it's P. Morgul to E. Morgul?
Disappointing.
I think that's probably Trump's on one. Stephen Crawley writes,
Grim losing his goggles.
When is Fat Asian going to answer whether he'll join our ATC team?
Don't include apostrophes, John, it's harder to read what you stupid write.
Anyway, I'm still trying to get clearance from my wife, and I apologize I haven't got back to you guys yet, but I'm trying to get there. My guess is probably not, because Gen Con is the
following week.
Yeah, that's a bad plan. So I would try and find somebody else, but I'm working diligently to try and get on there.
Luke Foster writes, Dear Zappity, what caster should I pair with Bart Galleon in a two-list SR? Love and kisses, Grumble X. I have no idea what that's all about.
Pair for Bart Galleon.
I usually either play Damiano as my second or Constance because of jam lists. It kind of presents two problems. There's here's a million infantry that I'm going to jam into your face. Can you deal with that? Mm-hmm. And then here's this list that has this thing that you need a giant fist to kill.
I feel like Max's Gorton list pairs up really well with
Gorton is a fine option, but that means you're excluding the spiny growth from the Bart list,
yep.
Which has its ups and downs.
Sean Denny writes, what would you like to see from E-Striker for Signar? We already answered that, didn't
Vendetta
we?
Menoth.
Lightning Tendrils.
Oh, yes.
A spell I want badly.
Signar's drooling for that spell.
Yes.
You can't have it. Circle only. Stamped on the card. And champions.
Or battle lust.
Yeah.
Luke Foster asks again, also, when are you going to play Cards Against Humanity on the podcast? bring back After Dark.
As long as I don't have to explain to my wife again what Bukkake is.
I had to do that to my girlfriend, too. I know. It's really, really awkward.
I know. You're just like, well, you see, like, it's what a... Never mind.
Yeah. No. I think Colin and Fox were in the back.
Make sure safe search is off.
That's what I said. I think Fox and Colin were in the car, and, like, we're just driving down the highway or something. My girlfriend's like, what... Like, what's... I don't know how this came up, but she just asked the question, like, what's that? And I'm just like, and Fox and Colin immediately burst out laughing in the backseat. She's like, what is it? And they're just like, nope. Cackling the entire time. And then he's like, Nick, what's it? What is it? I'm like, just Google it. And then, like, about 2 minutes later in the car, she's just like, doot, 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 doot. Ah! Oh, God! Why? Why, Japan? Why?
When my wife asked me, she passed me the card, and I looked at it. She said, what's that? And I'm like, we were in a group of, like, 20 people. So I whisper in her ear, and she didn't believe me, so she had to get confirmation from the group.
Yep.
Yeah, she was like...
As I recall, Chunky was instrumental in explaining.
Yes. Chunky took care of it.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Anyway, playing Cards Against Humanity, yeah. I still think that's a pretty decent idea.
I think it's a great idea. It's
not Next bad. Episode is the answer.
Anthony Aziz, some etiquette questions. In top-level play, I see people saying things like, okay, Hexy is going to activate. Actually, no, this solo is going to activate first. And, oh, man, Crump should be reading this. And I'm going to cast XYZ at this unit. Never mind, they have stealth. I won't do that. What's your opinion on this? And what types of verbal declarations are binding? And what is okay to be loose with? Also, for David Z's question, I love the music. Does Lance have an MP3 of it?
Nice.
Yes, and actually, Lance has signed CDs that he'll give you. So just ask him at any con.
There's also Lance t-shirts.
Going to that question, I don't see any reason why people can't just say, hey, I'm going to activate this. Oh, wait, change my mind.
Yeah, there is no verbal, is no verbally binding
verbal contract
message or whatever.
Yeah, I don't think that anything is set in stone until you've moved something.
Yeah,
yep.
Or rolled dice.
Yep, absolutely. As soon as you've moved a model and now you've changed the game state, that's binding.
Yeah, or obviously if you roll dice, you're like, I'm going to attack that guy, and then you roll the dice, and you're like, I missed. Oh, wait, no, obviously you can't.
Yeah,
oh,
right. Or I'm going to shoot at them, and then the person goes, they're stealthy, you miss. And they go, oh, well, I wouldn't have shot at them.
Really, the answer is don't be a douche.
Yeah. Exactly.
Jamie Liam Perkins writes, name one spell to add that would break the balance for your favorite factions.
Oh, man.
I don't really think of any spell that would break Menoth, to be honest. They're such a balanced, well, fair
faction.
You're
talking about the field test warmonger spell that P. Butcher had? Just everything was boosted damage and attack?
No, it was everything gets... all of his battle group models get basically powerful shot on all of their attacks.
No.
So the behemoth can be like, I'm going to spend one to boost both attack and damage rolls.
That'd be fine if it was ranged only.
It's worse, ranged so. Only.
Nate still wants that for.
Then we would see Kador Jax on the table.
I'm going to say Unearthly Rage.
Wait, it's not bad?
Not.
Well, it's obviously Unearthly Rage for every
Horde. Or Batten Down the Hatches.
I'll take Batten Down the Hatches and Trolls. In Crick's. Road to War? Probably.
What about True Path?
What about Battle Lust?
True Path actually might be better than Road to War. Because you don't care about the Jack part of it.
I suppose. That is true.
And Pathfinder for everything forever is amazing.
I honestly don't think Battlelust is that bad in the faction just because everything dies already.
False!
Texas become fearless and double weapon masters?
That's fine.
I'm pretty sure for Circle it's Unearthly Rage, and for Retribution it's Science Importance.
Yep.
Yeah, well, it's... Didn't we see a chart that said that Signs Importance, every caster but four dies to a full unit of Mage Hunter Strike Force?
Every warcaster but four dies.
He was excluding the fact that they could have been stealthed. He was going off their stats
just
only.
Off their stats only?
Yeah.
So there's a few stealth casters that would be okay.
There's like six, at least.
Oh.
So there's
so
like,
many.
There's like 10 casters that wouldn't automatically die.
Oh, now it's okay.
Yeah, it's obviously.
Like, it was never okay. I'm just stating the fact that those, like, six or seven were left out.
Now, like, a full 6% of the game doesn't automatically die.
Exactly.
Who are we up to? Eric Festa writes, do you prefer damage tracked on tokens next to a model or on that model's card? It depends. If it's a Warjack or something that has a really complex damage grid, I prefer the card vastly. If it is a unit with multiple wounds, I prefer having like a die next to the unit or next to the that specific model.
I would agree.
Because there's so many models in the game where you're like, okay, is that Bastion A or B or C or what? And then like once the leader dies, you replace that unit or that, you know, you replace like model B with model unit leader model.
Yeah.
And all the damage switches around on the cards. Like, it's just whatever. Like, have a die next to them. Be like, this guy has five wounds.
I prefer both. That's
definitely good.
Because dice get bumped a lot. And then...
Or forgotten.
Or forgotten about. And so it's nice if a dice gets bumped to be like, oh, crap, what was that on? And then look at the card and be like, oh, four.
Yeah,
and
good point.
That's why you need to do what Matthew Catrone from our local Des Moines does, which is genius, where he models actually spots into the bases for dice to sit.
Yep.
Where dice will fit so that he can just, like, twist them around and the die moves with the model and everything. It's perfect.
I actually put a bug in his ear about trying to create a like a click-style base. So that you could just like you could dial in the health on the base, like cut out a little section to see a number, and then put a metal wheel under.
Yeah,
it that could
the only
spin.
Problem with that, I played clicks. It seems like such an amazing system, right? You're like, oh, this base. I'm using, you know, I just. But you pick it up, you click it, and you put it back down, and the first thing your opponent says is that guy was not there.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Yep.
But I mean, and you could get it. You could get it so that it was floating under the base, so that you could move the wheel without moving the base. Maybe.
Perhaps.
It would be sweet. It would be sweet if you could.
What you need is one of those clickers. You know, like when they count people walking into, like...
Yeah. So Sam Ross asks, best ranged caster / melee caster combo in a Master's tournament? I don't know. Huh? Epic Lilith and Ryas.
No.
I don't...
Epic Lilith and Saren.
I don't know. Saren is not a melee caster. She does not melee things.
I think it's like...
I don't know what this means.
Maybe E. Kane Constance Blaze or something.
E-K-N-E Striker.
Yeah, done.
There you go. That's even better.
Stick a fork in a coach.
Britain Holdstock. Favorite faction to get paired up against with your primary faction?
I'm going to say my primary is Menoth, and my favorite faction to get paired up against is Menoth. I love the mirror.
I'm a big fan of the mirror, too.
I don't... Yeah. Yeah, actually, God, dude, I do love my mirror.
Yeah. You just feel very comfortable in the mirror. At least I do.
You're like, I know what everything does. Like the back of my hand.
But it might actually be... Gosh, it might be Scorn when I'm playing Krix.
That's pretty unfair.
I do like to see me some elephants.
With Krix, it's nice to see all melee usually against coming up against you.
I like playing Circle against Krix usually.
Yeah, I mean, when you're playing Signar, same thing. Ted Sinkowski writes, what's your favorite caster lock for Mangled Metal, assuming 25 point? For me, it's Pythagrush.
Epic Scar.
Prime Gorshade's a lot of fun. I like using him.
I like Pikaia in Mangled Metal. She can be kind of unfair.
I also like Epic Lilith, especially when I get to play Drunk Hollywood playing Barnabas.
I haven't seen Hollywood in forever.
Dude just called me the other day.
Nice.
Yeah.
Probably so, Epic Doomshaper. I don't know. Or Morgul. I don't play Scorn, but that guy's retarded.
Yeah, he's not remotely fair.
Dylan Strickow. He says, or he is asking, have you read The Butcher's novel? It's pretty good.
So, like,
I have not.
I'm effing crazy. I'm going to kill everybody. That's the novel.
I don't think any of us have read it.
I do kind of dislike the artwork. I don't like the way he looks on the front of that. Very goofy looking.
A little too crazy?
I don't know. A little too beefy. I don't know.
He's been hitting the gym. Xavier HP writes, is Keith's lucky tournament shirt purple or pink?
It is purple, sir.
It kind of looks pink.
He faded.
Well, he's
purple.
Changed shirts. He has burned the old one in a ritual pyre.
I'm pretty sure he didn't burn the old one.
He's not wearing a new one.
The old one has kind of like a grayish hue to it.
It's been washed so many times it looks pink. But it was originally purple.
I'm going to go with pink. Good call, Xavier. I like you.
Xavier HP. Dylan Strichow asks, thoughts on running a Lancer / Sword Knights and Runewood with Epic Striker? Rubika is a great spell, and the Lancer is a pretty durable positive charge target and a good flanker for the Sword Knights that go up to mat 12, Matt 12 troops and POW 12 weapon masters on the charge with positive charge.
I've actually played this list before. It's really good.
Yes,
I like it a lot.
I would absolutely put a Lancer in with Striker, 100%.
I like Thorn with it a lot, actually. I mean, that depends on you not having Thorn with someone else.
Right. So but it depends on how you design his list, but often Striker can get away with not having a Lancer because of velocity. He can get up there and get rebuke cast and then get out of dodge.
Yeah, I like it for positive charge, though.
Yep. No, I think it's a really good module.
It's a better positive charge delivery system than Rowdy is.
Yeah, one of my favorite Signar lists, though, was Striker.
Double Lancer?
Striker, Thorn, Stormclad being marshaled by Sword Knights with that whole package where it can pronto and then charge.
With three focus.
Yeah, with three focus, effectively, because it gets the one from...
Isn't that Stormblades?
It gets one from Stormblades. You can give it one from Strangeways first, and then it gets one from Stormblades, and then it gets the pseudo-focus.
Yeah.
And you can positive charge it, so it's POW 21. So it charges, like, from way downtown at Mat 9, POW 21, and then gives flank to the Sword Knight. It's really good. I like it a lot. Yeah. Super fun. And you get the charge off because Rebuke is unfair.
Yep.
James Delane writes, best two-point model in War Machine, other than Gorman, in Hordes? I'm going to go... I think in Hordes I would say that it would be Saxon Orc.
Pendrake's pretty good, too.
Saxon Orc is a boss.
Yeah, it's one of those. It's one of those two.
In War Machine, I'm going to vote Anastasia DeBray because she definitely is the most powerful two-point model. Plus one to go first. And if she has a feat. I mean, it's like a caster's feat if she ever gets it off.
Tricky to make happen in some cases, but if it does... Terrible, terrible things usually ensue. Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
You could make an argument for some cast from some faction specific solos. I'd say like Scarlock is pretty defining.
Isn't he 3 points?
No, he's two.
No.
Oh, of course, Crix is fair and balanced.
Yep.
Yep.
Cliff Hughes, Kool-Aid or High C?
Kool-Aid.
High C.
Hey, hey, hey!
I'm gonna say Ecto Cooler.
Oh, that was my favorite too.
Yeah, high five.
What is going on?
Slimer based candy and drinks. It was fantastic.
Hmm. Ecto
Capri Sun.
I bought a box of that the other day after watching This Is the End. I was just like, man, I really want a Capri Sun. You guys haven't seen that, have you?
No. I've not yet.
Neil's out of the pouch.
The part where Michael Cera is getting a and is drinking a Capri Sun during the process. So glorious. Good. I was like, man, I really want a Capri Sun now.
Marketing.
Product placement right
okay.
there.
The
best. Branding. Shane Campbell writes, who is the hotter sister, Haley or Denny?
Well, it's definitely Haley. Just don't let her give you a handy. And
is this thing good to
unless
go?
Unless you're into necrophilia, in which case it's Denny.
They're twins. A.
Yeah, I was going to say.
B, their last name is Haley. So I guess the question is nonspecific.
Victoria.
I think I can read the user's intent.
You guys seen
you're ruining this question, Keith.
The Star Wars episode of Family Guy where, you know, it's the end of Empire Strikes Back and he gets his hand cut off and, like, they replace it with a robot arm and he's just like, yo, is this thing good to go? And the robot's just like, yeah, just try it out on a hot dog first, otherwise it might rip your dick off. That's what it's like to be with Haley, too.
Oh, man. Those Star Wars foods.
Okay.
Yeah. Corey Hockman asks, what was the worst rules calls against you in an event?
Hmm.
I don't remember any.
Oh, Chad's is a good one. I know Chad's. Chad doesn't know his.
Go for me. Go
it's
for
playing
me
against
JVM.
Oh, JVM.
And the Rampager
yep.
in your guy who was next to Janissa.
Yep. No, I was force locking my own beasts, and he tried to Rampager it. And then they called it against me.
Well.
JVM cheated me.
He did.
He paid those
shame,
judges.
He's got more pull than any of us. Yeah. I mean, what judge is going to have? You have to have brass nuts to go, I'm sorry, Jake, but you're wrong.
The one that I actually remember the most was it didn't end up going against me, but it almost did. And that was very terrifying because it almost got ruled that the Devouring in Mark II worked the same way as it did in Mark I. Which would have been like four or five more damage coming in at all of my Bane Thralls that it was hitting like six Bane Thralls this Devouring. And instead of being a, because it's base POW, what, eight?
Eight.
Eight
up
plus
to 15.
Up to 15, so blast eight versus eight blast to 4 and then up to 11.
Right.
That's different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we called another judge, and it was okay.
Robert Michelle writes, what do you think Flamebringers will be like?
What are Flamebringers?
They're referenced in Fyra's?
I'm going to go Daughter of the Flame Cavalry.
I'm going to go Bloat Thrall version, of, but with fire instead of corrosion.
Oh, no, no. Like, Acrobatic Cavalry will be amazing.
Yeah, that's going to happen.
Wait, okay. Those actually already exist, except they are incorporeal instead of acrobatic.
It's going to be a Daughter of the Flame riding on top of another Daughter of the Flame. That's how they're going to be acrobatic.
It's hot.
Is that safe for... Oh, sorry, anyway.
It's like a circus.
Okay, so Jesse Harchak asks, the spell you most want in each of your respective factions.
And we did that Kador, before. It was the one that broke each faction.
Yeah.
Okay. Kador, though, I would say Ghostwalk would be fantastic, even though I don't know if they had the focus to cast that every turn. But.
An oddly balanced request. For Kador, I would have said, like...
That was the first thing I thought.
Arcane of. Shield?
Oh, yeah.
Defender's Ward.
Yeah, Arcane
Defender's
Shield.
Ward? Batten?
Man, I
have something that's a little bit more minor. I would love to get Boundless Charge in Menoth. Seems reasonable.
No. But you know what would be reasonable, I think? And this is something I was thinking about the other day. The spell that I legitimately think could go well on a caster in my faction, Crix, that is Shadow Pack. Because it's not nearly as broken on the focus mechanic. And Crix Jacks are really bad.
Yeah.
And they need to be able to get up the field without getting their arm shot off by Hatton Cannons.
Or you mean their arc nodes shot off?
Pigor Shade's got his version of that.
Yeah.
But by costing him three, it's
a little bit untenable.
I don't want stealth arc nodes.
Well, then don't put something on the caster that you want to arc.
Yeah.
It's not that hard.
Like, Shadow Pack would actually...
put this on.
I see what Keith's saying. Shadow Pack would bring... you know, Slayers into the game, maybe, or Seethers. The whole chassis becomes online.
They'd be able to get at least one attack.
Yeah.
Or at least one turn of attacking. Yep. Chris Bartley writes, how can Crump reach these keys?
The answer is he can't.
I am applying for a job at a local private college, so we'll see. If I reach these keys. What? Chris Reigns. Opponent gets her...
Huh?
I'm going to say this with as straight of a face as possible. Your opponent gets her tits out during the game. Do you let her win or power on through for the win yourself?
Power through.
I crush them.
Power through.
Let them know that I'm not weak to their wiles.
It depends how good the boobs are, really.
Yes.
This is so misogynist. Yeah.
It's what's your right. answer, though, Chad?
Thank you, Chad. Thank you.
Wow. I know how to be Chad. No,
wait, is the counter tech to just whip your gout and slam it on the table?
Oh, my God. This Lance, I'm sorry. I hope you enjoy editing this podcast.
What are you doing? We're not going to edit out. What is this? Your opponent gets out her boop during the game. Do you let her win or power through?
You couldn't say boob.
Spencer Weeks.
And boobs.
Kirk. Or Picard.
This is no contest. It's Kirk, 100 times Kirk.
Picard.
I said Picard.
You guys
Captain
are crazy.
Jean-Luc Picard of the USS Enterprise. I just wanted to do that bit.
You're not kidding me right now, right? You're being serious.
We're from Picard. A different generation from you.
Yeah, we're from the next generation.
I'm not from the next
generation. Nice.
Nice.
You stole my joke. Son of a.
I'm claiming credit for that.
Max Lamin writes, why won't you look me in the eyes when we make love? It's because, Max, you're facing the wrong direction.
Okay, nice
doggy style.
All right. This lightning round is going to a funny place.
Jonathan Lawson, best rat caster versus Lich 2.
Ossian, hands down.
Because of Shatterstorm?
Yeah.
Yeah, yep. Removed from play.
I mean, Raven scares him a decent amount. And with her feet, she can remove a lot of infantry, but I think he'll just be able to come back. I think the Shatterstorm is almost necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And Admonition is a good tool for keeping Ossian alive.
Oh, yeah, that's hands down, I'd say. Rodel Yabarzabal writes, in lieu of the Pacific Rim,
yes.
Which Warjack or Colossal would be the best to Jaeger, and what two casters would be your choice of pilots?
So clearly the best Jaeger would be the Judicator, because it looks the most... Jaeger-ish, in my opinion.
What? No, the Stormwall looks almost like Gypsy Danger.
What?
What is going on?
I don't know.
It does. Look, we'll see. Who's piloting it, John? They have to be two casters.
It's got to be Haley and Denny.
Yeah, because they're mind melded already.
Yeah, exactly.
Done.
Good answer. Or Rias and Saren.
Oh, yeah,
Rias. That's another good one.
Piloting a robot?
Yeah.
Yes.
She's like, yeah, I wear leather.
All I can think of when I see the trailers and stuff for Pacific Rim is that episode of Evangelion where it's like, dance like you're champions.
That episode, that's a good one. Chet Shrunk, what should the next large base super cool epic be?
I think he means huge base, right?
Yeah, maybe Krixian Karchev? Colossal Darius?
Hmm.
I don't know. I'm looking forward to Battle Engine Resnik.
I just don't super love the idea of huge base casters, I guess.
Yeah.
Actually, I have an answer. Thagrosh.
Yeah, Thagrosh.
Just a dragon.
That's a good answer.
Yep.
I was going to say, like, the blood of the dire trolls turns Doomshaper into a dire troll, and he becomes gigantic, and no. Thagrosh actually makes sense, though.
Henry Marcus, what does Resnik need to make him a high-tier Menoth caster, Protectorate caster?
I think he's fine.
Yeah, I think he's actually... we talked to Walter a bit about him at DICON, and I think in the current meta, he's actually quite strong. His feat is just really scary. In conjunction with the fact that he himself has a lot of personal... He's personally very dangerous to whatever he gets in touch with. So
is it a matter of just trying to screen him better?
Yeah, you got to keep him alive. That can be tricky. but his feat, with the way Menoth guns work, like a Menoth gun line plus his feat equals a lot of dead casters, so it just makes them scared to death.
Yep.
It's also kind of a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation, because a lot of times when you're playing against him, you have these really tough decisions where you're like, do I need to camp a lot of focus this turn to try and survive his feat, or to try and survive through the next turn? Well, I guess it doesn't really matter if I camp a lot, because he can just get rid of it with his feet.
And then he doesn't.
So
have
a lot
feet.
Of the times, yeah. You just are like, well, it doesn't matter. So I might as well spend it, because then I'm at least getting some use out of it. And then he doesn't need to feed, because you've already.
Yeah, you feed it for him.
I mean, it's tough though.
Yep. Joseph Oliveira writes: does Krix have any bad casters? Nope, just Venethrax. Bad players.
Venethrax.
Yeah, there's only one.
Very good.
It's just him.
Bad feet.
Very one of these
bad
days,
feet.
I'm just gonna. Somebody at a con is gonna walk up and punch me.
I'm not. I'm not a fan of Venethrax, and I think that he's bad compared to other Krix casters. He's but he's fine. Still good because that Soul Harvester spell is.
That
really,
is a very good spell.
He's like
he doesn't really have anything to do with it.
It's
yeah,
like
I'm he great, has but lots of souls, and then he's like
camps and doesn't die, and then kills things. I mean,
nice.
That's yeah. I'm saying like that's not very good in Krix.
His spell list is not what makes him bad. It's the feet. The feat's just
sure.
Very
yeah,
poor.
I know. I'm very familiar with that argument.
Yeah. Yep. So, Rex Exile, he asks, Gator Gargantuan, Zombie Dragon, or Avatar of Kosk?
Godzilla.
Who is Kosk?
Kosk is the Gator God.
Yeah, I think so.
That sounds pretty sweet, but
Godzilla!
I'm going to go...
I like all
I'm
of them.
I'm going to go Zombie
I mean, Godzilla would be...
Oh, all right,
God, I just watched that. I caught like 10 minutes of that freaking terrible Godzilla movie from the 90s or whatever.
Oh,
earlier
with
this
Matthew
week.
Broderick?
And it's the clip where it's like the first sightings of Godzilla. And it's just this like 90-year-old Asian man laying in his bed just going, Godzilla. With his eyes closed, just going, Godzilla, Godzilla. And I'm just like, God, this movie is so great.
Either way, all three of those would sell like hotcakes.
Yeah. Actually, I was talking to Rydia Fan, who's a huge nerd for all things, but including Godzilla. And apparently that travesty of an American Godzilla movie, they for a while they just didn't recognize it. And then they included like in one movie where Godzilla killed like 30 other random lesser monsters, they included the monster from the American Godzilla movie and just called it Zilla, and it was on the screen for all of like 3 seconds before Godzilla's atomic breath vaporized it.
Wow.
That's awesome.
That was fantastic.
They set that movie up for a sequel, too.
And thank God it has not been
terrible.
Made.
Dave Blenner asks, favorite snacks?
Animal crackers. Peanut butter.
Licorice. Red licorice, Twizzlers.
Yeah, man.
Swedish
wings.
Fish.
Twinkies.
Oh, Swedish fish, good.
ice cream.
I'll never eat another Twinkie. That's not happening.
Well, it might not happen again for anybody.
No. I won a Twinkie eating contest at work, which means you really lost because I ate 12 Twinkies in 45 seconds.
Oh.
And I won't.
This is just ripe.
Yeah. It was
it's kind of like a dream. Joke it's a to go dream for. Of mine, but I don't know if I want that dream to come true.
Yeah.
Adam Oakson, how do you stop yourself from getting overly competitive in high-pressure games? Has anyone on the cast had an issue with this before, or are you all just naturally good sports? I would say it's fair to say that
we're all naturally good sports.
Have had issues in the past.
Indeed.
I will say that everybody here has gotten competitive at a time and done something they're probably not proud of.
Yep.
Yes. I certainly have.
It's something that you, I mean, there's no like trick to stopping yourself. It's just something that you work on all the time.
Here's my thing.
That's true.
It's a game.
Exactly.
And if your ego is tied up in it, like, it's probably not healthy for you.
It's also a game. I made this argument a while back that I'm competitive in this game, but not nearly as much as I want in, like, Magic the Gathering, because the only thing that's really on the line is pride points. Like, the prizes for War Machine for winning are not very good, except for winning War Machine Weekend, in which case that kind of pays bank. But the rest is just like, I won this con and got a trophy that's going to sit in my dresser.
Yay!
Or be given away at another tournament.
Can't wait till Keith wins Iron Gauntlet, and then they make Lich Lord Keith.
Oh, the best thing ever.
Now, if that happened, like the Magic Invitational where some players get printed on cards or as models, I'm in. It'd be awesome.
It'd be Lich Lord Sephiroth or something like that.
Copyright infringement much?
I can't copyright that.
Lich Lord Sephiroth 32.
Something that I try to do to keep myself, because I do have a problem with getting too tied into games sometimes, and it's more of a problem when I'm playing against people that I know are playing local games that aren't. But something that I... What?
Sorry, no, keep going. Nothing. I read the next question.
Something... So what I try to do is when I'm playing in a tournament and I don't want to... get hyper competitive and, you know, stress everyone out and ruin the game. Like, I try to just crack a lot of jokes and keep the mood really light about the entire round. And that helps me out. Like, if I can just keep the game, like, kind of goofy and silly and light and everything like that, like, then, like, it helps me, you know, keep more even head during the course of a game.
Try not to make this sound condescending, but I would say both you and Keith have made huge strides in sportsmanship aspects of the game.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. John, however, has gotten worse because he hasn't gotten a sportsmanship award in like 3 years.
I'll probably never win another one because I danced all the way to the touchdown.
Like, I'm a sportsman. Suck it. All right. Wang Chen, that is an awesome name. Wang Chen Engels asks, if it was a Make-A-Wish kid's last request that Keith play a game for fun and intentionally lose with his epic list versus kid's Seer Forge, would/could Keith do it? This is why I started laughing.
No, he couldn't.
Hmm. I would say only if I was positive he was going to die before he could tell anyone.
Oh, my God.
That's terrible.
Wow.
No, in all honesty, that's a no-brainer. That's super easy.
There's no way he would do that. Because we would give him so much crap for the rest of his life.
Keith, do you remember that time you lost the Seer Forge with Epic Lich?
Yeah.
You lose
your Crix card, sorry.
I also have experience personally in dealing with Make-A-Wish for a friend of mine, and I love that organization. So.
Oh, God. Way to take it serious and ruin all our fun. Todd Ellerman writes, how can we support Team USA in their quest to crush the Europeans?
Very soon, details will be emerging about the WTC Team USA fundraiser that will be up on Muse on Minis, so keep your eyes peeled, coming out hopefully at the end of July.
We've got a lot of really great companies to sponsor us, to provide really cool prizes for you guys and stuff like that. So,
just really quick, is part of this, because this is clearly crucial, is part of this fundraising going towards matching patriotic jumpsuits?
Not that I'm aware of.
It is now.
We need to up the money on the chart because that needs to happen.
Well, they need to get over there first. And
I suppose.
It's like $20,000 in plane tickets. Just
saying. The jumpsuits will probably cost like $1,000. Just a little more. It's fine.
All right. Jacob Everingham asks, what's a battle?
Yeah, you can read the next one.
All right. Owen Carmichael, has Pimorvana Has she still got game in the current meta?
Absolutely.
I think so.
Yeah. It's nicer if you're in a three-list format than a two.
You can run into, like, purification a lot and make her sad.
Yeah. You can run into... you can get into some bad situations. You can get into... I think a lot of times the problem with P. Morvana is that every time you sit down across from somebody, you're in list chicken mode, where it's like, I hope they don't take the one that screws me over. Mm-hmm. And you can... It's like when I was playing Signar in the three-list character-restricted format, it's just like... It's kind of the P. Haley problem eventually you'll run into. You can run into your bad matchups enough times in a row and get locked in.
I remember how much you enjoyed that.
It was good fun. It was good fun.
Damien Zealot writes, is that really your last name?
That is a sweet last name.
What casters would you group with a Resnik theme force in a two-list or three-list event?
Is this the Resnik theme force for Steelheads?
It depends which Resnik theme force.
I do not know what's in Resnik's theme force.
They're both pretty good. One has the Steelheads and the Sunburst Crews, and the other one has like 7-point Reckoners.
I'm guessing it's the 7-point Reckoners.
Yeah. So probably a Jack Heavy list. So I would go with something with infantry.
Like a Harbinger.
Sure. Or
Pecreas.
Pecreas, High Reclaimer, something like that.
All right.
We have a lot of really good like generalists. Like I might pair him. I might pair him with a really good all-comers list, like P-Sev.
Rohan Davis asks, should Hordes have access to a Gorman and or an Eris? Is Thrall G good enough?
The Thrall G is amazing.
I hate you.
Straight face.
So much.
Die. I don't want to see any more Gorman types come out.
I think that they should.
I think that our Gorman should be a Pistol Wraith Gorman and have two blind guns that are ranged 10.
That can miss. Gorman doesn't miss.
Why not just change it so Gorman can play for Hordes, all the Hordes factions? So
I would like that a lot.
No.
I would like a 2-point Rupert.
Maybe minions.
Instead of a 3-point.
Gorman should definitely work for minions, but none of the other Hordes factions.
Larry Litzinger, I am new to tournaments. Other than bring templates, tape, dice, and cards, what tournament etiquette should I be aware of?
It apparently is bad form to tell your opponent you think it's a bad matchup before the start of a game. Just saying.
Mm-hmm.
Also, bring a pen.
Yeah,
I don't know if he mentioned that, but
honestly,
pens are good.
Come to have fun, and I wouldn't sweat it too much. There's not a lot to be worried about.
Agreed.
It's the convention scene and the tournament scene out there, for the most part, is full of awesome players that
yes.
will take newer players under their wings and help them out. So
yeah,
definitely
you'll learn a lot. Have fun.
Samuel Grubb writes, do you think that Retribution needs anything to bring them to the next level? If so, what? They need you, Sam. They need you to step up your game. Bring them to the next level.
They need more theatrics a la the WWE.
Yes. Just more options.
What about medium-based infantry? Like some type of heavy...
Yeah, sure.
You know, because they got a lot of light infantry.
They have everything they need to be able to deal with like almost every like situation, but it's just very... Like in building lists, I'm just like, oh, I'm out of options already. Like, my options are very... limited as compared to every other faction that I've played thus far.
Mm.
So,
Jonas Brand writes, your thoughts on Swamp Shamblers plus Taskmaster Zol Last Stand.
Read the next one, team.
He also writes, your reaction on Swamp Shamblers plus Taskmaster plus Zol's Last Stand.
That's what he meant.
That's
Jonas
what he meant.
Brand!
Sorry.
My brand.
I think it's extremely good.
Yeah, it seems pretty ridiculous in a good way.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, good gravy.
They become POW 11? 12?
I want to say 10 with the plus 2.
Risen are POW 6?
Risen are 7.
These guys are 8.
These guys are 8.
8, I believe.
It's POW 10 with boosted. Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah, that seems fine. Seems fine.
Brian Woods asks, what do you think a mercenary Thamorite unit would be like?
Something like... Feral Brigands, or not Brigands, Bone Grinders.
I bet they will all have walking sticks.
Probably.
A whole unit, like stealthy they're like druids with stealth. And then they have, they all have Bone Shaker.
Ooh, no. They all have Bone Shaker and Entropic Force. Yeah. They probably have Entropic Force.
Yeah. Their leader has Entropic Force.
Oh, that can't happen, though. Mercs can't get Entropic Force because then everyone has Entropic Force. Maybe it's Entropic Force and they only work for Cricks. So then you can only take them in your four-star lists.
Yeah.
Because nice. It's fine with them getting more in Tropic Force. All right. Tim, oh, my God.
Tim Simpson, what is the faction to beat in Hardcore?
High Reclaimer.
Is it Protectorate right now?
Not in Hardcore.
I mean, Trolls? The last big Hardcore.
Yeah, that's true.
Just saying.
Mountain King.
Yeah.
But you also like the format for Trolls, don't you?
I do.
I don't think there's a faction
it's
to beat.
I don't think there's a faction to beat.
It's the style to beat is Brick, for sure.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Trevor Etridge asks, let's play a game. In it, you play the part of Victoria Haley. It's an RPG, of course. An eligible bachelorette. Out of the Warcasters and Warlocks of the Iron Kingdoms, all of whom are clamoring for your favor, which of them possess the appropriate qualities to win over your young, innocent heart?
I think it's Sorsha, just because I want to see that.
I'm done with this podcast.
Stuart Gorman writes, who is your favorite Overload Online author and why? I'm going to go with the Irish one.
Good call. Because they're Irish and clearly drunk.
It's lovable. The cute accents.
Yep.
Oh, good answer. Good answer.
Mike Dillon writes, when you get into a faction and you are a collector, get at least one of everything. Oh, I'm sorry. Are you a collector? I.e. get at least one of everything, or do you just buy what you need for a specific list? I tend to build lists, then buy stuff, and then I always end up building lists that require me to buy really stupid stuff, like 2 units of Avengers or 3 units of TFG.
Mm-hmm.
I can't help myself, so.
I'm a bit of a collector with my cricks, but as I've been branching out, I'm tending more to just get what I need.
I mean, do you own Boarding Party yet?
I have them sitting in, I think, my basement at home in Wisconsin.
Right.
Yeah, I haven't really gone outside of my own faction much, but when I do, I usually just buy whatever list I want, and then that's it.
Totally depends on the personality of the...
Chad just had a Dos Equis moment. I don't usually buy out of my faction, but when I do, I drink Dos Equis.
Aaron Jones, he writes, who amongst the Muse crew is the most obsessive about filing off mold lines, filling gaps with green stuff, prepping models before assembling or painting them, and who glues their models together straight out of the blister with no prep?
I'm going to go with number one, Brian Finken.
No, I'm going to go with Josh Holt.
Holt?
Yes. And then everybody else is the answer to number two.
Not me, because
agreed.
I can't really glue my stuff together. I glue my fingers together. It's awful.
Yeah, real quick, Josh Holt's a fantastic painter, and he always puts his stuff together before he paints. He doesn't paint all separately and then glue them together.
One time I asked him to put together a unit of errands for me before we knew how many pieces they were. This was way back at our first Madison tournament.
When they used to be metal.
And he spent 4 hours putting my errands together. I was like, wow, these are like really, really nice, because he took off every mold line, you know, individually filing every single piece and gluing and green stuffing them together. And I was like... He's like, yeah, I can't help myself. I'm sorry. I'm like, I put together the rest of my army, and he put together my errands, which was really nice. But
nice.
Pretty funny.
Aaron Jones. Okay, Sensei Christensen, I accept your harsh criticism of the double Revenant Cannon crew plus Rengrave, but I just have to know. How can 2-range 14, POW 14, RAT 8 magical AoE 3s with Ghost Shot be bad for 8 points?
It's 8 points.
You can do a lot of stuff with 8 points and
they
cricks.
They can't move.
And, yep, it takes, takes a while to get in there.
How many points are Sea Dogs?
8.
Plus guns get up to POW 14. If you wither and cripple and grasp.
Wait, yeah. They're 10. They're 10 with walls.
They're 10 with walls and 13 with the rifleman crew, and then with 22 by the time you're all said and done. But whatever.
You can also get a full unit of Satixus Raiders for 8 points.
Yeah.
Taylor Swift asks, if you were forced by fear of death to be magically changed into a different race of human being, what nationality would you choose and why? Please keep in mind, death is also an option if you'd rather be dead than a different race.
I'm not like going to answer
Wesley
that.
Wesley Snipes once said.
I want to be white.
What Wesley Snipes once said was always bet on black.
Right.
I would be a Kiwi because they have fantastic women in that country.
That's just another way of saying white, Chad.
That is. Man.
Fine.
Effing round eyes.
Can I switch to upper class white?
I thought you were upper class.
This is a strange question. Brandon Arthur, I'm just wondering if Bryn Holdstock would like to come over for fresh baked cookies and a snuggle. I'm going to say yes.
I'm going to guess so. Bryn is a very friendly guy.
I would agree.
As a matter of fact, you should call him right now. Like, drop what you're doing, call him, and ask him.
I kind of want to come over for fresh baked cookies and a snuggle.
And Bryn.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Why aren't you inviting us?
Sweet. This next question was asked by Cookie Monster. It is. Sweet. Look at his picture.
Eo and Brennan writes, where are your crows at? Could it possibly be accompanied by Valachev with the Vlad? They become effective Rat 7, POW 12 poison crossbows, or effectively Mat 8, POW 10 poison guys in melee. Zephyr and Bushwhack has some interesting interactions, and Stealth Pathfinder and AD can't be that bad, right? Vagrant Poet. Actually, that does seem to have some potential.
That seems okay.
They're not a bad unit at all.
No, they're a pretty bad unit because every stat that you think about is about one lower than you expect.
Well, that's true.
Which is why Cotter fixes them.
I've tried to use them with Crix, and I haven't got them to be very successful
Scabbers.
Yet.
Scabbers.
But
you'll just be like, they're at 6. No, they're at 5. You know, like everything. They're range 12 right now.
Range 10.
Mike Reynolds, which units are better off without their UA?
The Shield Wall Scorn guys typically are better
because
off.
They get Spell Ward?
Yeah.
Long gunners.
Yep.
Because it's 2 points for one more gun and really nothing else that you want.
Yeah.
Stormblades? Is Stormblades the one that get...
Potentially Stormblades.
They get really expensive.
Their UA is 3 points for a 6-man point unit.
Yeah.
Yep.
Trenchers?
Reeves?
Maybe? Question.
Don't necessarily
Trenchers have a really
Trenchers
good UA.
Trenchers are better with their UA.
Yeah.
Winter Guard are definitely worse with their UA.
Yeah, that's true. Sprays are terrible.
Okay, that wasn't a serious one. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. is that it?
One more.
Torbjorn Hansen. Awesome name. What do you think the odds are on Team USA winning WTC? I have absolutely no idea.
How many teams are there? Like 36 or something?
And there's your odds.
What is 36?
One and 18.
Two and 36.
No, 100%. USA. USA. USA.
I'm the only one doing
America.
It.
America.
Yeah. America.
That's the mentality you guys need to go in. That's why we need the patriotic jumpsuits.
All right. You thought we were done. But we're not, because there are also lightning round questions now on our forums.
We're not going to ask
an entire episode of lightning round.
You asked for it.
CG writes, would you take the IFP with the original UA with E Butcher? Reach, extra movement, high base power should be good on the feat turn, right? I think it'd be fine.
Yeah, I accept both of their UAs. Graham writes, lightning round, planning to bring Ossian, Ron, and Kalissa to Gen Con Matt. Wait, how can you do that? I was thinking Osram for some reason. Ossian, Ron, and Kalissa to a Gen Con Masters. What terrible matchups am I completely overlooking?
No, that's a good three. If you build those lists right, that should cover everything.
As long as one of those three has enough just melee beefiness to get into and get through the Shadow Packs.
Mornwalk asks, a question that's been bugging me for a while is, what does a reptile hound sound like? Probably like a cross between a dog and an iguana.
Mm. Also, Mornwalk, did you used to play Magic the Gathering? Because that's a magic card.
Ark Nomad writes, can any caster step up and be the third list to E, Lich, and P, Denegra?
Yeah. P, Scar.
That's Mike.
Okay. Awesome. P, Scar. Not Venithrax.
Or Billy. That's Billy. Crookshanks.
Yeah.
Epic Denny. It's Epic Denny, by the by.
Yeah. Not Venithrax is the answer.
What about either Scar?
That's fine, too.
I said both of those.
Yeah. Terminus. Whatever.
A derp a derp. Pip writes, lightning round, Peace Strikers. But this is one of the English guys, right?
Probably.
Try your best.
Two Strikers, Blur, and Arcane Shield. Which do you place on infantry and which on jacks? Also, what do you do when Earthquake isn't an option?
That was a good British accent.
Amazing. Typically, things with higher defense do better with Blur, and things with higher armor do better with Arcane Shield. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
I saw Chuck play a pretty good list once that he put Blur on Trenchers, and he put Arcane Shield on Sword Knights or Boomhammers.
I see that. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah.
Which it was one of those two, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't remember. I don't think there was another unit really in the list because it was like Lancers, Thormwall.
Mm, you might be right.
Oh, our hipster buddy's checking in.
Lorem Ipsum writes, what other games, non-miniature or otherwise, can you suggest that might strengthen your grasp on the core concepts of War Machine?
Chess?
Magic the Gathering?
Yep.
It's, deck building was helpful to me for list building purposes.
Also, most of the other miniature games give you some concepts that help.
Yeah, sure. Rorik, lightning round. Is Metal Incorporated better with Sloan or Striker 2?
Striker 2.
Striker 2?
No contest.
Yeah, I agree.
He asks again, is Keith's Kane 2 list better with Kara Sloan if you switch Rowdy with a Defender since she cracks armor every round and turns on Boomhowlers better?
That seems like it'd be a good Kara Sloan list. I don't know that it's a better list than E. Kane.
Yeah, Kane is still just better.
It seems solid, though.
Yeah,
yeah, that would be a good Sloan list. Fine. Yeah. Certainly fine. Rorik also writes, lightning round, do you think the Ron theme force with AD... Oh, that's interesting. Ron theme force with AD Stormfall Archers is legit or jank?
I love that list.
The I theme prefer force. His first theme force, but that's me.
Aiding Stormfall Archers will tilt people.
Rourke, you asked too many questions.
Yes,
no, he's doing fine.
Oh my god, there's more!
Do you think that Haley 2 Stormwall plus Thorn is the next generation
list for Haley 2, or is there not enough business in the list?
No, I think that could be a strong list.
Yes. Not enough business.
No, I think it'd be fine.
Too much pleasure.
But that's my opinion.
Was this? How do you pronounce this guy's name? Remule? I've never worked that out in my head.
Remule.
Sorry.
Remule.
Yeah, I always pronounce it in my head. Remule. I don't know if that's correct though.
I guess we'll find out.
should all future factions be mini factions like Convergence of Cyruses? I say no.
I never like to use the word all, but I think it's a really good direction for them to go.
Yeah, I would agree. Daughter of Frankenstein, is General Awesome's feat a ham-fisted design choice that ties a hand behind his back even in his own contract, or a balanced choice to hold him down from being a top-tier choice in Mercenaries? That's a loaded question. I'm going to go with, it's a dwarf, so who cares? General question. I've been looking
By that logic, Gorton, mwah.
No, Gorton, I don't care.
I think the general question was meant not as a lightning round question.
Right.
Oh, general question. Right. Things that are not lightning round questions. Things that are not lightning round questions. Things that are not lightning round questions.
Littering and.
Yeah, so for next week, there'll be a thread just for lightning round questions, and there will only be lightning round questions in it.
Finally, Outplayed76 writes, lightning round, what type of fish should Crump be slapped with at War Machine Weekend? I vote Northern Pike.
Oh my god, no. That will get so much force on the end that is farthest from... Because that's 4 feet of fish,
mm-hmm.
and it's basically a rubberized baseball bat at that point.
Okay.
I vote Marlin.
I vote a swordfish.
Puffer.
Unpuffed, I'm
See
fine.
See if you can get it to stick.
There was one other question about...
a lionfish. Sorry.
About faction balance and the spread for qualifiers for War Machine Weekend.
Yeah, there's... Out of the 12, 4 have been Kricks. I think 2 have been Menoth.
No, there are 2 Kricks.
Yeah.
Whatever. Kricks. It's 4 factions have...
No, it's 5
Feels like 4.
It's Legion, Circle, Kricks, Menoth, Signar.
Yep.
I think... Here's my response.
This is going to be the first War Machine Weekend Invitational that I'm not in for 4 years.
It's not over yet, Chad.
Not over yet, I guess.
There's always recruits.
And there's always the LCQ. My response is it's, there's only 12 slots, right?
16.
Likelihood of every faction getting in there is pretty slim.
Yeah, it's
a small
sample
size.
Plus, if you go look at, the top eights, you see a big spread of lists, casters, and... factions. There's lots of stuff that's around.
Yep.
I'm not worried about the faction spread.
Nope.
All right. Well, we have just a little bit of time left to talk briefly about our scrap heap today, which is the Witch Coven of Garlghast.
They're sweet.
Brian has been playing around with them a bit recently and has been enjoying them.
I think Witch Coven is blessed with a lot of options because they're very diverse. And they also have two theme forts, which are both very interesting and diverse. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm actually... if I was going to take a look at them again, it would probably be with an eye to one or both of those theme forces.
Yeah, they got all sorts of options. One really nice thing is that they can kind of dictate the game a little bit with their feet. Can tell people, you can't shoot at me. Tough stuff. And then if you line it up right, they can't even charge at you. Another nice thing is having Occultation and Veil of Mist to just screw up more line of sight.
I would think that they would fix some of the Signar problem for Krix.
They do fix a lot of gunline problems. The other thing that's really nice about their feat is it's possibly one of the easiest offensive feats to apply, just because they are the only caster in the game that has the ability to run and feat, because they feed off of the egregore, but it's the girls that activate the feat.
And going to that activation, it's fantastic. Sneaky little thing they do is that each witch activates independently, so you can activate one, cast something, activate a unit, see how things line up, and go, oh, now I got to cast this, and you go to your next caster. It's awesome. They definitely need arc nodes, and you definitely want them to stay as far back as possible, but with their giant control range, it's pretty easy to do.
Yeah, so they can cycle their buffs multiple times. Like
they can.
They have Infernal Machine, right?
Yes, mm-hmm. They do. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Infernal Machine, Occultation, Veil of Mists.
I love Stygian Abyss, too, because if you crit on that, you Shadowbind a model, and there's nothing funner than running an arc node out and critting on a melee beast or a jack, and you just get to ignore it for the turn. And if they don't kill that arc node, the first thing you do the next turn is just shoot it again.
Yeah, so they've got kind of an interesting spot control game. It's not 100% reliable, but it's fairly reliable. They're also one of the few remaining casters I would consider as an option to spell assassinate. Spell assassination's not nearly as prevalent in Mark II as they were in Mark I.
No, not even close.
But the Witch Coven can still pull it off, kind of.
You can at least spell bully for a couple rounds.
Yeah, absolutely. Their arc nodes are huge bullies. The other thing that I like to... The reason I don't mind playing them in Killbox is, especially if you go first and you get aggressive and you move up like stealth Satixis Raiders, and you move up a lot of stuff into position that's threatening, and if their caster doesn't move outside of the kill box, you just go for the crit Shadowbind on the caster. 2 points. Get him again. Game. Pretty much.
That's really mean.
It is very mean. It's fantastic.
Oh, God. At that point, someone's just like, my heavy's going to walk over and throw my caster. success. My caster is now knocked down in front
kind
of
So, I think that Witch Coven is one of those high-ceiling casters that when they're played really well, it's very different than when they're not played well.
I would agree to that.
You know, some casters are kind of easy to play, like Terminus just runs his army forward and doesn't die and kills everything in front of him and, you know, tries to get to your caster and that's about it. Doesn't have a very dynamic game plan. Witch Coven is exact opposite of that, in that there is a lot of things they can do with their multiple activations of their Warcaster every turn, cycling buffs or cycling things like Curse of Shadows. You know, is Curse of Shadows the one that lets you charge through the guys?
Yes. -2 armor.
One of the most important things, I think, in learning to play and effectively using the Witch Coven is getting the maximum potential of the attacks you can make in any given turn. And what I mean by that is, in a situation where you are fighting in waves and they are fighting in waves, you do not want your first line attacking their first line. You want the Curse of Shadows and send your first line at their back line so that your back line can engage their first line. So you can get full engagement if possible.
Curse of Shadows stops free strikes too?
Yes.
It reads, enemy model / unit suffers -2 armor and cannot make free strikes. And your models can move through that enemy model so long as they end out on the other side.
They actually have a lot of good movement spells because they have Ghost Walk, Curse of Shadows, and Infernal Machine.
And Veil of Mist.
Yep.
Veil of Mist, and then their feet kind of helps them just move for a turn without getting too
destroyed. Veil of Mist combined with Ghost Walk creates the same effect of Freeze Strike immune models that can move through enemy models. Because inside of a Veil of Mists, you can move through other models.
Oh, man.
Yeah, Veil of Mists, I was going to say, is a really good spell on their list that I feel like it gets overlooked. You can play that spell in a lot of different ways.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, for them, it's a 2-cost, 4-inch AoE mm-hmm. that they can put down.
That's range 18.
Yep, that they can drop. Just cloud, a nice cloud wherever they happen to need one.
Put that or Pathfinder or whatever.
Yep,
Pathfinder.
Or just take heavies out of the game for, like, turns.
I
like,
see them use
rowdy
it.
Every turn, just...
Yeah, I see them use it as Pathfinder for Jax. Yeah.
Because it's an upkeep, right?
Yeah, so you cast it in front of old Rowdy, then don't cast it, and then cast it again. Or don't upkeep and then just cast it again. Like, Old Rowdy can never get line of sight to anything, like, the whole game if you do that.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, you can use it. More often, I use it defensively to, like, stop things from getting death jack.
Also, to stop things from, like, randomly killing the Witch Coven. Sometimes yes. It's really good.
Yes.
I mean, their weakness is always going to be the fact that they are personally one of the weakest casters in the entire game.
Yeah, they do not like fire.
And if they happen,
yeah, straight damage on
themselves
fire rolls
cannot do. Like, aren't they like mat 5 with like a pow 10 or something?
It's pow 7, I believe.
It's really, really bad. Maybe 9.
I know Grim Angus loves shooting them with his gun.
Yeah, and if you lose a witch, it's horrific. The first witch you lose is it's pretty much it feels like the game because you go from an 18-inch control area, 9 focus, and spell reduction, cost reduction on all of your spells to a 12-inch control area, 6 focus, and all of your spells cost 1 more, which is double for most of them that you're casting.
Real quick, how does kill box work with them?
They all have to be out of the kill box.
Yeah, you gotta get everybody out.
If
it's not just
more of them are out, can you kill box yourself more than once?
No. You can't, even if you're playing a 2-caster game, you can't kill box yourself more than once.
And you can't dominate 2 zones at one time either.
Correct. That was an errata that got put in after I pointed out that Witch Coven could win almost any scenario in one turn.
Just, hey, you, go over there. You go
one
over
thing,
there.
Victory. One thing that was awfully sweet that I mixed in my list yesterday when I played with them was Derek Rath, and I popped the feet, got everything placed where I wanted it, and Derek Rath, since he's pretty darn safe because of the feet, I moved him up, did Beyond Death, and then moved him up as 5 more inches right behind my front line. And anything that they could walk to attack me with was at -2 attack and -2 damage. And it was awfully sweet. The player wasn't very happy about that and looked at the card a lot. So let me do that again.
Let me read that.
Yep.
I hate that Derek Wraith is -2 to damage rolls and not like
strength.
You know, one person asked to see Rovan's card all day on Saturday. I was surprised.
It's because you're so trustworthy with your slanted eyes. What, he calls us round eyes?
I think Witch Coven definitely has a place in competitive play. I mean, Matt O'Reilly did very well with them.
I like that list, too.
Before
her theme list with all the soul hunters starting with a soul makes them very reliable for killing.
That's what I ran last night was a theme list. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to bring all the stuff you want to bring anyways. Withershadow, Soul Hunters, Dare Graith, Death Jack. I mean, a lot of stuff.
Bane Knights, I think.
I think you want things with long threat ranges.
True, you
they
can't
have
bring any witches. Or you could bring Blood Witches in the tier list.
But not Satixus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I built that team for us.
Because the high defense is nice because during their feat, that means their defense is essentially 2 points higher, which is awfully nice.
Yeah, I like the Soul Hunters with her, with the feet bonus or with the soul bonus, but I'm not sure that I would put them in if I was building non-theme. I definitely would be playing Satixus Raiders because stealth Satixus Raiders super good.
They only get force barrier with the UA, right?
Correct.
I was like, man, 2 of them unit that doesn't have the UA with occultation, but that doesn't work.
Still pretty good. The thing that Satixus Raiders allow you to do is they allow you to dig deep.
Exactly.
So they have with a 14-inch charge and being able to, like, go through your guys to get to the back lines, it's devastating.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then the Blood Witches can come up behind them and engage the front lines. And
you can use Nightfall to deliver them. You don't even really need Occultation. for Stixis Raiders. So actually the two units of Stixis Raiders with Witch Coven could be really scary.
Yeah.
It could be. The problem is that Nightfall needs to affect the enemy models, so that first turn jam results in the same thing, which is lots of dead Stixis Raiders. But you can go second with them.
Yeah.
And then immediately run Aggregor and feet top of one. And then bottom of one, and then run up just out of walking threat range and be like, what you gonna do?
High five.
Another sweet thing, too, is their arc node can run so far because you can throw Infernal Machine on it, which is plus two speed, which means it's getting 4 more inches of movement, and that's pretty bonkers.
Yep. Yeah. Oh,
run
my God.
18 with the arc node.
If you're going turn two and they're moving up at all, your opponent... on their first turn, you can get that arc node almost anywhere you want.
You just be like triple Stygian Abyss, your caster, you're dead.
Uh-huh. How is their feet worded? Is it just enemy models line of sight?
Enemy models, yep. Currently in the or enemy while within the Witch Coven's control area, enemy models are -2 to Mat Rat, and their LOS is reduced to 5 inches.
God, I want to play a Kraken with them so bad.
The Kraken's not bad. The Kraken has a couple good things going for it. Nightfall is one of the few feats that does protect a Kraken. The other thing that it does...
Infernal Machine
is very interesting on it because it makes it faster, makes it very accurate, and when it goes out, when it activates, it gets 4-inch reach, engages a bunch of stuff, and makes terror checks. It kills everything within its 2-inch reach and some of the stuff at 4-inch. Ends its activation, it's reach shrinks back to 2 inches so that things coming back in have to check again.
Yep, very good.
That's really annoying.
Is the Kraken speed 5?
The Kraken is speed 5, so it's speed 7.
It'd be fun to, like, Curse of Shadows a unit and then have, like, the Kraken that's Infernal Machine go and, like, charge through that unit and some stuff behind, because sometimes there's spaces between waves for, like...
That seems really unlikely.
Yeah.
It might happen, though.
But yeah, so I think the Witch Coven has some unexplored potential at this point, and it's about time to see them get up off the scrap heap.
You have a list you want to talk about?
I haven't built anything. What were you playing last night?
I was playing a Highlander list, and it was a tier list, so it had Max Soul Hunters, Derek Wraith, Deathjack, 2 Arc Nodes, and I think that was it. And I played against Circle. Played against Hudson. He had just a bunch of... He had Pikaia and a bunch of Wolves, essentially. And I dictated the entire game. He just couldn't do anything. I was able to crit Shadowbind his Stalker 3 turns in a row.
Oh,
and
my God.
He had Gators. That was his unit. And he had Lord of the Feast, which is his solo, and I was able to get that on my turn one by running my Arc Node.
Sounds like
super far.
Very odd list on his part. Pikai and Highlander, I feel like my unit would have been Shifting Stones.
Yeah, one thing that...
But, you know, I could run an Arc Node forward and get close enough and just spend a bunch of focus and destroy one Shifting Stone, potentially. I mean, if they have 9 focus, it's pretty sweet.
Is the power on that 12? 12.
13 or 12?
It's 13.
It used to be 13.
It's 12.
Is it not 12?
They dropped it to 12.
Yeah.
Oh, so, yeah. One thing that I saw... Matt O'Reilly doing a lot was using the Reaper with them.
Yeah,
which is pretty interesting because it
13-inch threat range
a long ways for that drag. It's pretty bad.
Well, and now there's Malice, which is just a higher rat Reaper that does more things.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't have reach, but
no reach, no sustained attack. The Reaper is a really good jack, actually, if you can keep it safe.
Which they have a lot of options.
They have a lot of options.
Occultation,
so.
The cloud, and a feat.
Yep.
Unfortunately, none of their movement shenanigans allows you to drag enemy heavies through their own models. That would be super sweet, but you can't do that.
Doesn't Veil of Mist do that? No?
No. No. It's your models moving through theirs.
It allows you to advance through enemy models, but nothing allows you to push things through enemy models.
Okay. Good to know.
Unless perhaps they were incorporeal.
Yeah, I think Witch Coven are really fun, and I know it's probably very intimidating to try them out at first, but they're a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think I'd be looking to play them with the Stixis boat at this point, and possibly some Banes as well. Kind of similar to what I was looking at with the Negro.
I would test the Kraken too.
And, yeah, possibly the Kraken.
I don't know why, but you mentioning them being incorporeal, they should design a spell where you can, like, turn something incorporeal, including enemy models.
I think that might be coming.
Banishment. something like that.
Yeah. They added like Iron Wall a while back, and they added the Jack can't be incorporeal. So my thought is that Krix is going to get a battle group spell or throw it on one Jack of incorporeal or like Wraithwalker or something. I'm very curious as to why they put that
in
there.
I think
it'd
be funny if there was an offensive spell that was like model unit becomes incorporeal and unable to make attacks.
And
just like banish them.
No. That would be too broken. You have to have some way to break it. So how you break it is the first time a model in the unit would suffer damage, they become unbanished.
Sure, whatever. I was just going to balance it by saying it's not an upkeep and it costs a ton. But whatever.
That'd be cool.
Are we done?
Do it, DC.
Right off the scrap heap. We'd like to thank you for listening to this episode of Muse on Minis and want to remind you to tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for more analysis and commentary from John, Keith, Chad, Crump, and the rest of the crew. For more Muse on Minis, visit us on Facebook or check us out on Twitter, at Muse on Minis. And don't forget, we're also at MuseOnMinis.com with tons of great articles about the hobby we all love.
Thanks for tuning in. This has been episode 72. This has been Fat 73. Agent. 73. My bad.
Keith.
Crump.
Chad.
And Brian.